Welcome. It didn't start like I wanted to start, but that's okay. Another quirk of what happened to me and Andy on Let's Rage Clues yesterday. Welcome to Folks Talking Sports, episode 162. I am Chris Gardner. With me right now is Kenitra Pulliams. How are you doing, KP?
Chris, I'm doing great, thanks.
And joining us as soon as he can will be Willie Gibson from Ohio. He'll be joining us. Gremlins got us, and that's why we're starting later than usual, but that's all right. It happens. Under the beauties of live streaming. KP, while it's just you and me, what are your thoughts on the Las Vegas Aces sweeping the Phoenix Mercury, third title in 4 years, from 500, from getting blown out by 53 points to tie, I think, the most lopsided loss in WNBA history for a road game, road opponent, to winning the championship? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you saw it was trending that way, the way that they closed the season. They kind of put all the pieces together. They found the answers of kind of what was plaguing them the early part of the season. And, you know, they get to the postseason it wasn't flawless, but they did what had to be done. And the fact that, you know, for the first time ever, a 7-game series, a bit anticlimactic that it was a sweep. But at the same time, you know, the Mercury, you know, with Satu Sabali, you know, leaving the game early, it wasn't as compelling, I think, as it could be. But take nothing away from the Aces and their accomplishments, and take nothing away from Asia Wilson and her dominance. Becky Hammon, really, she had to evolve this season as a coach. And you add pieces here and there and players buying into their roles and, finding different ways to win. And it was the outcome that was their goal. And they reached that.
And I'll say this, I'll mention it again, because I think I said on an FTS, maybe at the start of these playoffs, me and one of my closest friends, probably when the Aces were at 500 or after this, they just got blasted by Minnesota, we pretty much were shoveling dirt on them, and the season's over, and we were texting back and forth. This is not the Aces. They made a mistake and letting Kelsey Plum go, and they shouldn't have brought in Jewel Lloyd, and Jewel Lloyd hasn't stepped up at all, and this blah, 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 blah. Then 16 straight wins later, and then doing what they do in the playoffs and winning the chip. Hey, I was wrong. And the PR person for the Aces, I've known for almost 30 years. Mm. So I need to reach out to her and say I was wrong. Forgive me for doubting y'all. But where, as good as she was in college, mm-hmm. are you surprised at how dominant Asia Wilson has been in the WNBA?
No. You know, she has, you know, because again, being able to find the right fit and to still excel and to have sustained, you know, individual and team success. I mean, it is remarkable. You know, there's already talk of, you know, of her being the GOAT, you know, just based on what she's done on both ends of the floor. And the fact that it's not just individual numbers that she's putting up, but the fact that if you're leading your team to championships in short order, then, you know, yes, dynasty, you know, so those words are coming up, and GOAT, you know, those words are coming up as well. So,
Willie Gibson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, my man?
Phenomenal. How's everybody?
Good.
Doing well. Your thoughts, talking Las Vegas Aces, are you surprised at how dominant Asia Wilson has been in the W, even though she was great in college?
No. Is anybody? No, I'm not. No. No, I mean, as you said, she was dominant in college. It's just a continuation.
Is she the best player in the world?
Yes, I would say so. I don't see anyone else vying for that crown.
And see, that's a change, because probably 2 years ago, maybe three, you might have said Breanna Stewart. Mm. You know, Stewie, I mean, goodness, Stewie won 4 years in a row at UConn. Mm-hmm. And she's done a great job in the W for a while, but nothing like Asia Wilson. And as Kenitra said, Asia Wilson does it on both ends of the court. I mean, she's elite on offense and elite on defense, and that's a rare, rare combination. What do you think about that, Will?
It is rare. I mean, in this day and age, you know, very, you know, you hear the term two-way player, but, you know, how many players actually fit that bill? And to that point, she is one of them. She is someone that is a two-way player.
And now we wait. We got, what, till the end of the month? Mm-hmm. Has anything changed for either of you regarding your opinion that the union and the owners will reach an agreement before the deadline of October 31st?
When's the season start?
What is it?
Yeah.
May?
Exactly.
Right? Is it May? Exactly. April?
Yeah.
Kenitra?
Hmm. I mean, I don't have my tambourine handy. Do you have a tambourine sound effect? Mm-hmm.
I don't think I do. Okay. All I got maybe is the little, this is all I got. See, like, how do I play it? I'll figure out how to play it. The drum roll. That's about all I got.
Yeah. Hey, Miss Wanda.
So, yeah, let me, that is one thing I haven't done on here very much. Let's see. That is drum roll. Will, I see what you're wearing there.
Yeah, I had a little alumni, but I had some James Franklin stuff earlier. So I'm trying to figure out somebody to pay me $48 million to go away.
Man, amen, brother. Amen. All right, here we go.
Make that happen.
So, yeah, there it goes. You know, there's that. But anyhow. But, yeah, shifting gears. Kenitra, you going to say something? What are you going to say? Here we go. James Franklin's gone. Buyout of $48.6 million. 50. Trent Bray's gone. Mm-hmm. Who's next?
I didn't have James Franklin as the first Big Ten coach to get fired this season on my bingo card.
Yeah, when you texted me, how long ago was that? A week?
A couple weeks.
Because he was not among the options. Of course, then losing to
UCLA happened.
UCLA and Northwestern happened. That'll do it. But just, Will, your thoughts. What have you heard up there in Big Ten country about Penn State biting the bullet on this and saying, yeah, you got to go, sir, right now?
Yeah, they couldn't wait. I mean, they gave him everything he wanted. I mean, he pounded the table. I need NIL. I need facility upgrades. I need this. And they gave it to him. And then to come out and do this, it was already questions about his offensive coordinator. And he stuck by him, you know, and we saw what happened in the college football playoff. Everyone thought when he made the college football playoff, he was home free. But not so much, because of the performance that they had in that playoff. So now he come to the 2025 season, and he has yet to be the Power Four team. You know, he lost. He was back-to-back 20-point favorites and lost both games. And to put the button it up, the funniest thing is he's 104 and 45 at Penn State. His first Big Ten loss at Penn State was to Northwestern. And then the last one was to Northwestern. So it was just, it was time. I didn't think they would do it, quite honestly, because I just had a conversation earlier this week or earlier last week. And I think I said it here last week. He's 4-21 versus top 10 teams during his tenure at Penn State, and they hadn't done it. So I'm like, if that doesn't get it done, what will? Well, we saw yesterday, you know, three straight losses, two as a 20-plus point favorite gets it done. So, but go ahead.
Our colleague has a joke for you, a joke question, Mr. A.D. Moore.
No, here's the funny part about it. Here's the funny part about it. I haven't seen yet, and I'm waiting to see who the interim is. Number one, selfishly, I wish they waited 3 weeks because I would love to see him here November 1. But other than that, I want to see who the interim is. And if they make the interim Jim Knowles, that's going to be hilarious. The former Ohio State defensive coordinator comes into the horseshoe as interim head coach of Penn State. So I haven't seen that yet. So it'll be interesting to see.
Terry Smith.
It is Terry Smith? Okay. All right. Well, dang. I was being petty. I really wanted it to be Jim Knowles. But we'll see. They still got to come in here November 1st. And then you look, I think they looked down the line. I mean, they're 3-3 now. They have Ohio State. That's 4. They have Indiana. That's 5. I mean, Iowa this week could be 6. So.
No quarterback? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know. Yeah, it was time. But I think he has a nice little soft landing spot, the 48.6 notwithstanding. I think Virginia Tech calls him. I think he's on the phone. He might be on the plane to Blacksburg right now, truthfully.
So is Virginia Tech calling Shane Beamer or calling James Franklin or both?
They're calling James Franklin.
What about Oregon State?
Anybody care? With all due respect, what about – and you know, a colleague told me once upon a time, anytime you leave with all due respect, you're about to say something disrespectful. So, with all due respect.
What about him?
Yeah. What about him?
I mean, you know, they fired their coach first today. They made their move first. I didn't.
And still get overshadowed.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the buyout is for him. You know. I'm not even sure if I've seen it anywhere.
I could, if you had given me a list of 5 names and said, who's the Oregon State head coach? There's a chance I could have gotten that wrong.
Oh, MC with this one. I missed this one.
Is that Trent Dilfer?
At last I checked, he was. Yeah. And that was a disaster. Okay, I mean, that truly was a disaster. Yep, he was fired within the hour.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And UAB football, the football program was dead, and they brought it back and brought in Trent Dilfer. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Speaking of Oregon State. The former Oregon State coach could be the next coach to go. Jonathan Smith at Michigan State.
Them too. I mean, UCLA. Who knew? Okay. They have talent, apparently.
Yeah.
Tim or Scott. They have someone who knows what they're doing, yeah. which does help. The right person in charge makes a huge difference. We joked about Oregon State. And what, you know, who cares about Oregon State? Honestly, UAB, I couldn't tell you who they're looking at for the job. You know,
you know who the quarterback is.
Who's at UAB?
John Dennis Kidd.
Oh goodness.
Florida transfer.
Oh, well, he hasn't helped. I mean, and the American Conference, South Florida is ranked. Memphis is ranked. Is Navy ranked? I think. So if not, they're right on the door. So teams are just have passed up UAB football. And UAB football, when they made the decision to bring football back, they made, you know, all relative to other leagues, made investments in the program. The results have not been there whatsoever. I mean, not even close. And the irony, I could have bragged on Rice football today. And then UTSA said, yeah, I know, and beat Rice 61-13 Saturday. Yeah. So, yeah, no. I mean, before yesterday, Rice was projected to be in a bowl. One of the bowl games the world doesn't know exist because they're played in December, you know, one of those mid-December bowls. I'm pretty sure they've fallen out of that bowl projections. No. KP, wasn't he the first person I said? Wasn't he my answer to the question, to our question?
I think so.
I think it was. I said he'd be the first one gone. Well, I've been wrong three times now. another person in Florida might be in trouble. He hasn't won a game in conference yet this year. Mr. Mike Norvell. Mm. Their defense is just not good. He's doing less with more than a lot of coaches. And I guess that we can say that about all these guys who have been fired today. Well, except for Oregon State, because it's Oregon State. But James Franklin, as well, just laid out the stats on him. They gave him everything he wanted. And he still lost. And get booed off at home.
Yeah, it was kind of a telltale sign looking at it now, because apparently the AD, who he comes to the locker room after every game, didn't show up post-game. And then James Franklin did some crazy. No coach really gives away injury information. Well, he was quick to tell everybody Drew Allen was out for the season. He's like, now you're like, hey, he was like, yeah, watch this. So he knew. He knew.
Not his first rodeo.
But no. This leads into, because apparently before he was dismissed today, I had some friends and other folks doubted. I mean, Will, you even said it, doubted that Penn State would make the move because of the buyout. Will, do you think this has anything to do with Penn State deciding to move on?
No, I think it was just time. I mean, I think I didn't think they would do it, because I'm like, if they haven't done it now, before now, like I said, he's 4-21 versus top 10 teams. So what's the incentive for them to do it? But I think it was just more so in this case, it was time for him to go.
Kenitra?
It was time.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Fisher cut bait. Yeah. You know, but I mean, because, you know, it's recruiting is 24/7.
Yep.
And so you can't have the collateral damage of the rumors, the talk, the distraction of every week, you know, James Franklin's going to have to defend himself. You know, you got to keep the deep pockets happy so that the money continues to flow. And, you know, you got to let all these recruits know.
What has been, I'm going to read some of Ross Dellinger's reporting about what Will said was inevitable last Sunday on FTS. Big Ten nearing decision on $2.4 billion deal with California Pension Investment Fund in landmark move within college athletics. Over the last week, Big Ten executives and Commissioner Tony Petitti accelerated, Will, their efforts to socialize and finalize. Let me back up one more, because that's what Will asked me. What changed? What was? But we'll get to that in a second. Here's the beginning part of it.
A
California pension fund may soon invest in the Big Ten Conference. An investment fund of the University of California pension system is in negotiations with the nation's largest and perhaps most valuable collegiate, isn't it, Will? Isn't that a fact?
Yeah, not a perhaps.
Most valuable collegiate athletic conference to infuse about $2.4 billion in immediate cash to its 18 schools and help create the conference's long-discussed subsidiary, Big Ten Enterprises. Now this slide, here we go. Over the last week, Big Ten execs and Commissioner Tony Petitti accelerated their efforts to socialize and finalize deeper details of the concept with presidents, athletic directors, and school board members. Stakeholders of the conference's two biggest brands, the Ohio State and the other team, have warmed to the idea, paving the way for a vote as soon as next week. And this was article came out on Friday, right? Friday.
Yeah.
Those with knowledge tell Yahoo Sports.
I misread that the first time. I thought it said the conference two biggest brands, Purdue and Nebraska. My bad.
And what is... Oh, so you playing my role today, huh?
My bad.
Yeah, right, Teddy? All right, yeah. Teddy. I see you, Teddy. Okay. In what is described as a minority investment, UC Investments will provide an infusion of roughly $2.4 billion in a one-time equity distribution to the conference to own a 10% stake in Big Ten Enterprises and receive a cut of the league's annual distribution. The $2.4 billion will be distributed to the league's 18 schools in an uneven way,
KP,
with a portion also used to create Big Ten Enterprises, a private offshoot of the league intended to better monetize the conference's assets in this more professionalized environment of college athletics. Maybe this will be the end of referring to them as student athletes. Oh, my bad. All schools will receive at least $100 million in upfront one-time payments, with several programs payouts exceeding $150 million. Dizzy Busy.
Which one? Which programs?
I got to be the Ohio State, one of them. A massive influx in cash at a financially stressful time for athletic departments. Eight-figure bonuses to schools are also expected in fiscal year 2037 when the Big Ten's deal with TV partner Fox is scheduled to end, likely triggering a significant media rights fees increase. One more slide, and then we can discuss. Many view the deal as a three-part concept: the financial partnership with the pension fund, the creation of Big Ten Enterprises, and the extension of the grant of rights. The creation of Big Ten Enterprises may be the most interesting. The privatized for-profit entity is expected to operate under a CEO answering to a board of representative member schools and is charged with consolidating in one place the league and its schools' assets as a way to better monetize and generate more revenue, including categories such as ticket sales, sponsorships, and others. Will, thoughts?
Yeah, it was the two major players in the game got the concessions they were looking for, uneven payment structure. That was it from the beginning. You know, Ross Bjork and Ward Manuel, they weren't with taking the same number as, with all due respect, I just said it earlier, Northwestern and Purdue. They just weren't. And so, you know, once that was...
And Maryland and Rutgers.
Yeah. No. So once those concessions were met, it was like, okay, let's get it.
Kenitra, your thoughts?
What happens should the look of the conference change before this deal is over?
Well, see, that's where we're going with the grant of rights extension to 2046. Well, this is my question. I think KP's touching on it as well. Mm-hmm. Does this, and it has to be a unanimous vote, and I think it will be.
Yep.
They wouldn't have gone to the 1 yard line for it not to be unanimous. Does this mean there won't be expansion? Does this mean no Miami, no North Carolina until 2047?
I think for now, yes, I think the only two that they really were looking at when this is again under the regime of Kevin Warren were Stanford and Cal to make it an even 20. Once that didn't happen, I think all parties kind of resigned themselves to the fact that it would be 18 and thus going forward, searching for deals to benefit the 18. So never say never. Anything is possible, as KG once said. But I don't foresee it at this point. And if they were, right now, people are still up in arms that Washington isn't getting the full conference cut right now. And, is that a scenario where they do it and maybe you come in, we bring you in, but we give you pennies on the dollar for the right or for the opportunity to be a part of the Big Ten enterprise? I don't know, but we shall see.
And AD's bringing this up. I'm not sure how serious Saudi money was considered for the SEC. They're considered other folks as well, but Utah and Texas Tech hold out hope of joining the Big Ten. So does this impending agreement kind of squash that move? And they're,
everybody wants to be a part of the Big Ten.
UH wants to be part of the Big Ten.
See what I'm saying? You named five schools in 3 seconds.
And I'm saying, I can't remember, I haven't really looked at it for a while, but I promise you, UH President Chancellor Renu Couture said a few years ago, one of her goals was for the university to become tier one, and one of her ultimate goals was for UH to get to the Big Ten.
I remember that. Yep.
Okay, a lot of folks have maybe forgotten about that, but she said that. I've said that here on FTS in the past. And that's her ultimate goal. I don't believe that's changed. It may not be in our lifetime, but that's her ultimate goal. We shall see how this all plays out. But I want to flip the script a little bit and go to the Big 12 and Brett Yormark's take on private capital. And I want to do something. First, y'all know this. Let me post this. Will, did I text you this Friday?
I can't see it. Okay. No.
It finally happened. I think I sent it to you, KP, right?
Yeah.
Miss Wanda, AD, Dizzy, Busy, MC, everybody watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, LinkedIn. The Big 12 Today radio show that's on TuneIn. Weekdays, Monday through Friday, is now, as of October 9th, also available on TV or streaming via the Big 12's FAST channel. Will, remember the channel you couldn't find?
I'm saying, which one is that?
You tried to find it live on FTS last fall. Last fall?
Yeah.
So they're finally simulcasting the Big 12 Today radio show, the original 7-10 times the live show on its Big 12 Studios, Big 12 Fast channel on Roku, Fire Stick, so you can watch it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So one of Now, the sad thing is how I found out about this was not via email. I did not get an email from the conference office, nothing like that. I just happened to, I think someone posted on social media, hey, check out Commissioner Yormark's interview he did with. And I was like, oh, so I found it. And then I found this Twitter post saying that they have launched Big 12 Today on Big 12 Studios. I was like, oh, it's about time. So I was happy about that. Now, during Commissioner Yormark's interview with Ari and James, he discusses his thoughts, take on the Big 12's research into private capital / private equity. So I'm going to play that audio, about 2.5 minutes long. And everyone listen to it and give me your thoughts on what he says, Commissioner Brett Yormark from the Big 12 Today show on TuneIn, but also stream now on Big 12's fast, free, ad-supporting TV show. This was on October 9th. So here we go. Let me close this and play this. If I can find it, where are we going here? There we go.
I'm going to take a step back. You know, when I got here as commissioner, I realized it was incumbent upon me to explore every and all options to best position our schools and, for that matter, our conference. Looking at capital was one of the things I felt was critically important. And we did an exploration of all the different scenarios that could unfold. Private equity effectively is having someone come in and take a piece of your conference. You're selling a piece of your conference. And with that, think about it as another member. So in the case of the Big 12, if you had 16 schools, you now have a 17th member effectively. So we went down that path. You know, for me and where I sit today, I truly believe that given the uncertainty around collegiate athletics, that having a strategic partner that can help create value, okay, value creation, we discussed it earlier, is very important. And a strategic partner can offer lots of different things. They can offer expertise in different areas of the business. They could be a great sounding board, and they could provide capital when and if our schools need it. So that's kind of how I think about it today. I would never, and I guess I shouldn't say never, but the ideal scenario for us is not just to partner with someone for capital. For me, it's got to be much more strategic than that. Capital can be a part of it, but certainly the strategy, you know, the subject matter expertise is critically important. The other piece is I'm really bullish on the Big 12. I always have been. I love our trajectory. I love where we're going. And, you know, I'm not inclined to give up any of that upside right now, knowing that, again, we're going to go into the marketplace in January of 30. I think we'll have a big moment. But certainly, as the commissioner, you have to explore every and all options. You never want to be on your heels, and you want to be forward thinking. And we, have a as a conference, have done that. And I've done that with our board and our ADs.
Thoughts on that? Can he try?
What happens when a member institution maybe thinks they've outgrown the conference, or their idea, their vision doesn't align with the conferences, with the commissioners? Then what?
You know, I mean, ACC dealt with that recently with Florida State and Clemson. Texas Tech could be that person, like I said minutes ago. Tech's objective hope is to get to the Big Ten. By the way, into the Big Ten, whatever. Well, I mean, we shall see what happens at that point in time. I think with the ACC doing it, the Big Ten soon to do it, it's probably inevitable that uneven revenue distribution is coming to the Big 12.
But everybody wanted to be mad at Texas.
Exactly. 12. That didn't fly when the Longhorns suggested it.
Yeah.
Just but like, well, now, maybe within like, oh, the next 3 years, now it's but okay.
2 years ago.
They said it's cool. It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Understood.
Just because we were visionaries and like we had a you know, a network and
But do you think that'll fly in the SEC?
Nice. We were selfish.
Well, y'all, and most of y'all were, yeah.
Okay.
But do you think that'll fly in the SEC? Uneven revenue distribution with everyone. Even the upper echelon schools.
I mean, it's hard to say everybody's, because I mean, you're basically, you want everyone to be a monolith and think the same way. That's hard to do. I mean, it may be fine for now, but over time, people are going to have different ideas of how to best position themselves strategically, in the words of the commissioner.
Will, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, he said, I was struck by it. He said, it's not something I'm looking to do with the conference right now. So was that, you know, to forgive my conspiracy theorist mind, does he have somebody on the hook? And that was his way of saying, get your numbers up?
Well, I mean, he wants this. Commissioner wants this. He's been pushing forward for a year and a half.
Right. So to say, so knowing that he's wanting this, to say, oh, it's not something I'm looking to do right now. Nah, but why? Somebody, that tells me he's looking for somebody to get their numbers up.
Money talks.
Yeah.
Well, but also, how can I be as polite when I say this as possible, even though that's not really my way?
That's what I'm like. Why now?
No. Some of the presidents aren't agreeing with him.
Mm.
So to borrow a phrase from you, conspiracy theorists might wonder, once the Big Ten votes to get their deal done for private equity, will those presidents who had doubts call up Commissioner Yomark and say, oh yeah, Brett, remember that idea I was cool on about a month ago? Give me a call back. I'm kind of warming to the idea now. Maybe that will happen in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Who knows? It would not shock me. Part of his interview with Ari and James, he also said, KP, you'll love this. I'm not really looking forward to seeing it, but he said, I think they're going to try to implement it next Tuesday and Wednesday at the Big 12 Media Days for men's and women's hoopers. Kind of a red carpet fashion show kind of thing. More for the as he says, you know, the student athletes trying to tell their stories, you know, allow them to showcase their brand, who they are in their fashion, with their fashion, with their attire. He said that. I don't know if it'll be able to be done next week, but for sure next year. But that's one of the ideas he has for more storytelling for the players. For the teams, you know, whatever.
It's hard for the teams who are flying in, flying out same day.
Well,
those who come in the night before, to where you can prep and have your glam squad, then that's fine. But if you're flying in and you're like literally you're waiting on a flight, whether you're flying in commercially, because there are a lot of teams flying commercially more so than in years past.
Mm-hmm.
You're flying in commercially and you better hope that, you know, especially with this government shutdown and TSA agents and air traffic controllers, you don't know that flight's going to be on time.
But I need to make a phone call and ask some folks over at UH, because the men's team, I think both team, women and men, are flying in the day of.
Mm-hmm.
Women's team is flying in Tuesday, men flying in Wednesday.
They are.
So, I need to ask them. I said, do y'all know about Have y'all been informed of any plans for like a red carpet fashion walk kind of thing?
Yeah.
And get their answer on that.
They're flying privately.
So when I heard him say that, I was just like, oh man, really? But it's not my generation. I mean, I don't care to see the orange carpet walk in the W. I don't care about the fashion statements, the players making the NBA. None of that. I mean, you know, there are social media accounts for in the pro leagues for fashion, for kicks. I don't care about the shoes these folks wear. I don't care about their fits. None of that. But that's a thing, Will. That's a thing for these younger players. And I just, okay. I mean, it's all part of your brand. You're going to promote yourself. All right. Tell me when the game starts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I care about. But it's not for us. So even if it's implemented next year, there will be young people hyped up, you know, looking forward to getting their fines and their threads all together and you know, with the shades or whatever, all decked out. I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. But that's a thing.
Boy.
So that's really all I want to say on that. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there next Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully on time, as KP said. Hopefully my plan is to be there early, late Monday night, early Tuesday morning, like 12:30 in the morning, whatever. But I don't want to see a fashion show. I don't want to see any of that stuff. I am just happy that the Big 12 finally is streaming their radio show on their FAST channel. I've been begging for that for 3 months. So they're finally doing that. They're finally finished with the studio. So they finally did that. So now I'll just wait for my phone call or my email. Chris, want to be part of the show? When you got, that's what I'm waiting for. Y'all got my number. Y'all got my email. So what are you going to say, Will?
I'm on one today. I'm being super petty I don't know. Yeah. Hey, if you want a conference where you don't want the commissioners all up in
all of your videos.
Come to the Big Ten. I'm just saying.
all in your videos, all in your tweets, all in your social media streams.
Yeah.
Come to the Big Ten.
Come to the Big Ten. Golly. I'm just sitting here listening to all this like, who are we doing this for? Okay, you got the marketing conference, but now it's about the brand. And hey, come on, man. What are we doing?
But right. It's. I mean, they have different corporate partners now. Yeah. They got a deal with New Era. So, I mean, they got different apparel partners, different arrangements. And I shouldn't have even said that plug because y'all not paying me to say that. Mention your name on here. But he's changing he's thinking outside the box in a stale conference. And for that, I give him credit because some of these ideas he's had, you know, some things Big Ten and SEC have done for like 6, 7, 8 years. Mm-hmm. But the Big 12, Commissioner Bowlesby, just he was old school and didn't do any of that kind of stuff. Didn't think any of that kind of stuff. So I commend him on that. And of course, I have a working relationship with the COO, KP? Mm-hmm. COO now, Mr. Kirkham, who I hope to see again on Tuesday and or Wednesday. And I am serious about that when I see him. Okay, I see what y'all got now. You got my number. So get that done. Because trust and believe, if that does happen, if the Houston Round Ball Review is and or Let's Rage Cougs, it's a working agreement with the conference to stream our shows on that. Y'all won't know because I'm going to tell everybody. Y'all going to know about that. What else did I want to say before we wrap it up here? I think that's pretty much it. We'll talk about the Browns again. What happened today?
They lost 23-9. Two more games before the bye.
anything you can share about Shedeur Sanders?
He didn't play.
Is he going to play at all this year?
Yeah, he'll play.
What's it going to take for him to play?
About another 4 weeks. Because you have, they have, in all seriousness, they have Miami at home next week, at New England, the bye week 9. Coming out of the bye. The story goes, story goes is that they want, when he does play, to give him a full week of practice, full game plan. He's the guy, they don't want to bring him in. He's the backup now. They don't want to bring him in on if Dylan Gabriel takes a sack and unfortunately gets injured, which we're not wishing anything on the young man of that nature. But if he has to come in at 3rd and 17, you know, they don't want that. So the plan is to give him, but then I also heard something this week that, well, I heard it again. I didn't believe it the first 2 times I heard it, but now I'm starting to believe it. And if AD is still here, he'll get a kick out of this. 4 is still in the building.
Huh.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Deshaun?
4 is still in the building. And there's a possibility. Anything is possible, again, to quote KG. But, he not only is he in the building, he's posting videos of him throwing and running. The team's not, but he is. So he's letting you know. You know, y'all must have forgot. Here I am. So now I also got some a little more enlightening on that insurance policy. They do have an insurance policy on his salary that if he doesn't play this year at all, they get $42 million in cap space on the 26 cap when his salary cap number, I think at that point, is like $81 million. It's not an all or none scenario. So they get credit for each game that he doesn't play. So if he doesn't play the entire season, they get the full $42 million. So hearing that, and then somebody was like, yeah, you know, 4 still in the building. You know, he's out here. Anything is made. Will they play him? I still highly doubt it. But he's not going anywhere quietly.
So, what do you think about the Browns' trade partner?
Which one?
For the quarterback.
Oh, the Bengals?
Yeah.
I mean, he started today. How about that? He did what I mean? That tells you, that told me, I mean, Joe Flacco, he was a, Joe's a great guy. So that means I'm about to rip him, right? he's 40 years old. He's done. And he was a statue here. And the offensive line in Cincinnati is much, 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 much worse than it is in Cleveland. And they traded for him on Tuesday, and he was announced as a starter on Wednesday. And he did well today, but I don't know. That's just, I mean, they had to do something because Jake Browning was bad. Jake Browning was bad, and Joe Flacco's cheap. He's like $2.5 million for the rest of the season. You know, Joe Burrow's making $53 million. So they needed somebody that could play, but also they needed somebody who was cheap. And Joe Flacco fit that mold, that role. So we'll see. Which the quarterback situation?
The Browns.
Yeah, I do. You know, I mean, Dylan Gabriel, he was next up. He was the backup. So in order, yeah. You know, now Shador's the backup. You know, we'll see Shador in about a month. So, if not sooner, but I think in about a month you'll start seeing Shedeur play a little more. What? AD? What is it?
It got to be by Deshaun. Got to be by.
Gotta be. He is. That's the word on the street. Is he's? It's true. He is in the building. He is in the building. So we shall see. And they are paying him $46 million this year. And also, by the way, $46 million next year.
All right. I remember what I wanted to say before you wrap it up. a friend of mine sent me a link to a tweet. I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'm not going to give this account any credit at all. I'm not going to acknowledge them publicly. And I don't know if it's for clicks or get people to start following that person, which I didn't do. But they did the tried and true sources beginning of it. And then went ahead and posted a score of a scrimmage between the Cougs and Texas Tech in hoops. And it got a good number of likes, a few comments, which makes me shake my head at those folks who liked the post. Why? Let's think for a moment, people. Teams within a conference are not going to scrimmage against each other. Period. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen. There was no scrimmage between the Cougs and Texas Tech. The Cougs did have a red and white scrimmage yesterday. And I'll leave it at that. I heard a few things about what happened. It's a scrimmage. And what day? What is today?
Sunday.
October 12th. Don't care about the score. Don't care about anything of that sort. My main thing about any scrimmage, hell, Will knows this, KP knows this too. About any exhibition game in any sport, college, pro, whatever. Anybody get hurt? Nope. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
True.
So, people, and I'm saying this, I'm getting on my horse. If you want to, if you have questions about something like that, that post, reach out to somebody who's in the know. If not me, there are other colleagues in town who know. We could have squashed that 12 hours ago instead of wasting people's time with nonsense. Give me a break. As soon as I saw it, I made a phone call. 1 minute later, Chris, no. Why are we screaming Texas Tech? I'm like, exactly. People, come on now. The Cougs have a scrimmage this coming Saturday against Ole Miss, which many of us knew about for a while. But the head man himself told us that Tuesday officially, brought up on his own, really. We didn't even ask him about it. Coach Sampson said, yeah, we're scrimmaging Ole Miss. He said so much info. I had to reach out to UH. Is it okay if he publicize this? Because he said everything, Will. I mean, he said the location. He said, I was like, but the NTA has lightened their handcuffing of that because, you know, about 4 years ago, you can't say anything about a secret scrimmage. Don't post anything. Don't mention. Nowadays,
a scrimmage.
It's just, you know, it's a scrimmage.
Yeah.
And I made sure to let people.
Maybe for charity.
Yeah. See, those are now exhibition games. See, the NCAA has changed. So you can have scrimmages mentioned publicly. Then after COVID, coaches started pushing for, well, would it be okay if we sold tickets for charity to help raise some money for the people impacted by COVID or a natural disaster or whatever? The NCAA, I think, initially said, no, that's not a good look either. And then they received so much flack for charity? Y'all say no to charity? Oh, well, then, okay, we see your point. So they kind of do what the NCAA does, especially under that other guy, previous leadership. But now, fast forward to now, it's okay now to even publicize and mention the scrimmage and who you're playing. But that scrimmage, the Cougs are facing Ole Miss next Saturday. They're having an exhibition game against Mississippi State in 2 weeks on the 26th in Fort Bend. Tickets are sold for that one. tickets are not on sale for the scrimmage against Ole Miss. So that is closed to the public. So again, people, if you want to know, please reach out. Again, obviously, I want you to come to me. Okay? If not me, there are other colleagues who know some things I don't know. Just like I know some things they don't know. But don't waste your time on garbage and clickbait. Come on. And I mean, come on. But honestly, why would two Big 12 coaches scrimmage against each other? No one does that. They don't do that in the SWAC. They don't do that in the Big Ten, the SEC. They don't do that. Oh my gosh, man. So, and CA37, enjoy the success. I mean, Tech's playing well. Tech's one of the best teams in the country. Enjoy it. I hope they keep winning because they stubbed their toe one time. The committee's going to ban them to purgatory, so they won't be seen again for the rest of the year. So keep on winning. Roddy Cougs, this question, when will TNT, et cetera, TV time be announced? Hopefully soon, because Media Day is next week. So maybe this week, if not next week, we'll know the TV times for the games on TNT, ESPN, and Fox, and CBS, and CBS Sports. MC, thank you very much. And I'll say this, and y'all know it, and then we'll wrap it up. That tweet, common sense is not always common.
Nope.
I'll just leave it at that. All right, Brother Gibson, once sure. I find your screen and do this, the floor will be yours, sir. All right.
Thank you, sir, as always. Thank you, sir, as always. I appreciate the opportunity. Find me on social media on the Progressive Coral States IG and Threads at Will Knows Sports. Twitter, Will Gibson 7. Facebook, Will Knows.
Okay. All right. You can follow Folks Talking Sports, IG and Threads, Folks Talking Sports. Please do so. Thank you for the comments and questions on the multiple platforms here on episode 162 of FTS Folks Talking Sports. I am, of course, KG Chris Gardner. If you haven't already done so, scan that QR code and become a member of the Houston Round Ball Review YouTube membership section. And trust me, if you haven't become a member, then you do not yet know what an NBA scout told me about the Cougs, gave me their thoughts on the Cougs. That is in there for members. Info like that will be for members only. Got to help pay the bills somehow, folks. You know, just keeping it real. But as always, this was fun. We covered a lot of different topics. Will put on my hat, being Teddy Petty Tendergrass today. You know, but it's all good. We good for same time next Sunday.
Yeah,
we are. We're good. Okay, excellent. KP, you see this? You see that for? Okay. She is. This appearing on FTS is her social media presence.
Yeah.
This is it.
Okay, so fine. If you want to find me, I'm on LinkedIn at Kate Williams.
So there you go right there. That's what you get. How you reach Kenitra Williams is on LinkedIn. That's it. All right, everyone. For Willie Gibson, Kenitra Williams, I am KG Chris Gardner, owner of the Houston Round Ball Review. Subscribe to the Houston Round Ball Review on YouTube. Follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitch. The show streamed on all those platforms today as well. Until next Sunday when we bring you episode 163 of FTS. Since 1994, the Houston Round Ball Review. Local name, global perspective. Everyone, take care.